David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion workplace pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
Hi, this is Stacy from The Advisor. Today, I'm very excited to have a very special guest with us. This is Dan Hendrissing. And Dan is a special guest because he has a podcast series with us. He is an award-winning Amazon author, and his books have been acclaimed throughout our book industry as some of the world's best fiction books in the market. And today we're going to talk about a very special a series that he has published that has done very well. And we're going to talk a little about that. But before we begin, I just want to just give a shout out to our sponsor, and it's dmaworld.com. dmaworld.com is a marketing consulting agency, and what they do is they focus on the small businesses. They don't want you to get scammed by those big marketing companies, so they like to work with small businesses to help them grow into large successful businesses. So check out dmaworld.com and you'll find Mark, the owner, who is there to help you. So I just want to say thank you, Dan, for doing this this series with us. I think people are really excited. We've gotten a lot of positive feedback about your books, and they are just people have even told us about how they read your books, and they've had they just love them. And so, tell everybody a little about what you do and the books that you write.
Thanks, Stacy, for having me on again. I really appreciate it. Well, I started writing. Let me rephrase that. I started back writing back in 2016. I started working on my first book, which is The Good Fight, which is the one we're going to talk about today. And I just love it so much, I kept going. I love to write. I love to tell stories. And I love to really tell myself the story. It's just a lot of fun. Making stories and developing them and living through them and finding inspiration for them is just part of my, call it my life therapy, really, because it's just a lot of great time doing it.
Yeah.
I'm a small business owner in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. I own a business called Detailing Technologies. It's a auto body shop, detail shop, and it's a dealership. And that's how I keep my bread and butter on the table. Been here since 1996. I grew up in Sheridan, Wyoming. Big difference. And married my wonderful wife back in 1989. We've lived several different places during the throughout the country because we're both lay ministers. Mm-hmm. And we take assignments from our ministry to go and teach God's word to people in fellowships and stuff and run classes and do other things. So that's why I've gotten around a lot. We've ended up here in Lancaster for the last 26 years where we started the business, but we still do Christian volunteer work. And we help coordinate, classes and home fellowships and stuff. And so in my off time, when I get a little time, I write, and I've written 8 books so far. I got my 9th one in the beginning of the editing stages, and I'm already started writing my 10th one. So I really like it. And I'm really excited about talk about the Last Enemy series today, because that's my first 3 books.
I love fiction books because they just take you away. I like to, when I read, I like to visualize. So I love when I read a fiction story because I visualize the whole scenario in my head, and it becomes like a fantasy world for me. What inspired you to write the Last Enemy series? Was there like a specific event or idea that sparked the creation of your story?
Well, I think I mentioned this in our last talk, the crime of the series, it's a thriller series. Mm-hmm. And the crime that it's based on is something that actually happened in Mannheim back in the early 2000s.
Right.
There was a string of Russian mafia people that moved in, and they were taking cars and loading them up, like the inside the panels and stuff, with cartel laundered money and drugs. Then they were taking them and they were sending these cars to the auction, and the and selling them to dealers, supposedly. Right. And that's how they distributed their drugs and their money throughout the country. And so one of them moved in next door to me. And I was just starting out, just opened up my shop, only been open for about a couple of years. Yeah. And like I said before, there was these two big black SUVs, Suburbans or something, that pulled into our lot next door, and a bunch of FBI guys with camos and even had a couple of them had assault rifles, came out and kicked down the next door business open and started running in there and searching it. And then one of the guys came over and talked to us and said he's with the FBI, and he told us the whole story about the crime, asked me what I knew about these guys. I said, well, I've done business with them, but I've never seen inside their cars. I wasn't a body shop at that point. I was just a detail shop. But that was interesting. And so, you know, I had a little bit of law enforcement background. I've gone through a lot of training with the in West Central Ohio back in the early 90s. And so I kind of understood what was going on. And, you know, I have a degree in journalism. I got that from a place called Casper College in Casper, Wyoming, which is an offshoot of University of Wyoming. And, you know, I just kind of left my writing back in the 80s, really. I worked for a newspaper for a little while, but I just didn't like the whole dichotomy of the situation. So I just moved on to ministry and stuff. And but in 2016, I just really started thinking I want to write again.
Right.
And one of the big inspirations for me for writing is music. I can envision stories by just listening to some music.
Yeah.
And Rachel Platten published a song called Fight Song back around that time. She released it.
Right.
And this whole fight song just got me going, because it was about a girl who was struggling, had moved out on her own and was trying to make her way in the world and all that kind of stuff. And that, with being in Mannheim and knowing what it's like to be a business owner up there, and knowing a lot of the business owners up there, I just kind of started developing this story. What if a business a lot bigger than mine was to be attacked by one of these Russian people that wanted to take it over because they wanted to use that facility to facilitate their smuggling of drugs and laundered money throughout the United States? Wow. And how could that happen? And what would, how would they go about it? Yeah. So the whole situation just developed where, this girl, she's the daughter of this famous Coast Guard commander who was basically a modern day pirate hunter in the Caribbean. He got very famous, but he executed a guy at sea that was a rapist and a murderer, but he had to retire from the Coast Guard because of that. So he moved back to Mannheim to help his parents run the business. And but he had a lot of enemies. So during the course of the book, there's an assassination attempt on him while he's on an airplane trip with his mother-in-law and his wife.
Wow.
And so the daughter and her grandfather, Jim, are left devastated and alone with no family, because these people are supposedly gone.
Yeah.
So the daughter gets really heartbroken and she moves to South Texas to be with her maternal grandparents, because they have a great big family.
Yeah.
But Jim's kind of heartbroken too, because he owns this big business and the only person he has to leave it to is this girl.
Right.
So part of the drama of the whole book is that you got this Russian cartel mafia individual who I named Boris. He's after the business. But Jim's named Danielle, who's my main protagonist in my first book, as his sole heir. And she's on the board of directors for the business. So he can't make any moves or do anything drastic with the business without her signature. So Boris has to target her too, even though she's down in South Texas.
Right.
And there's romance. There's a lot of intrigue. She meets a Coast Guard lieutenant who she, kind of falls in love with. And then Boris comes after her and he wants to get her married to his nephew, because that way he could have, force Jim to sign over the whole business to the happy couple. And then he's going to kill off the Edwards. And so I don't want to give too many spoilers, but that's how the book started. And what really I think people liked about that book was that Danielle, one of my favorite things that somebody said about Danielle is she is no damsel in distress. It's one of the favorite reviews from Online Book Club. That's one that she says she's no damsel in distress. And, you know, I had her like growing up being trained by her daddy. Her daddy taught her martial arts. Her daddy taught her how to think, you know, made her real tough. And so when she was confronted with all these bad guys coming after her grandpa and coming after her business, she fights back.
Right.
And she does it really well. And at the end of that book, I leave a little cliffhanger in there where Danielle finds out that her mom and her dad and her grandmother might still be alive.
Wow.
And so that's the good fight. And so that everybody really loved that. And that book got a lot of traction. And so, and I really thought that the next book that I would write would be The Last Enemy. And see, here's my first three books. This is The Good Fight. This is The Last Enemy. The reason that there's a book in the middle is that I introduced this character throughout the narrative of the first book, and her name is Marnia Gonzalez, and she's the daughter of a Mexican president.
Yeah.
In the beginning of the book, when Jacob is forced to, well, he isn't forced to, he kind of loses his temper, but he executes this guy. He catches this guy trying to rape and kill this girl on a cruise ship off of Cozumel. And he rescues her, he saves her life. And then he takes him up to the tallest part of the ship and throws him off.
Oh, wow.
And so after he gets his mind back, he places himself under arrest and orders his ship to take him back to, you know, to the authorities of the United States. But this girl, you know, everybody liked her in The Good Fight, because I introduced her as part of the people that were in the rescue team that came after to save Danielle from Boris.
Right.
And so I thought I need to develop this story about this girl more, because she's also a hero. And I even showed in the last, you know, in The Good Fight that her nickname was the Cartel Crusher. So how was I going to do that? So I retell the whole story about the in the first chapter of the Cartel Crusher, I retell the whole story about how Jacob Edwards rescued her on the cruise ship, but from her point of view, not from his point of view. And so after that, you know, she goes and tells her dad that she doesn't want to go to law school. She doesn't want to be a politician like him. She wants to go in the military. And then she wants to be in the anti-cartel task force, which is a real thing in Mexico. They actually started developing this back in the about 10, 15 years ago, some of the presidents. And she wanted to be a part of that, and she wanted to follow in her hero, Jacob Edwards' footsteps. So things happen, and she does actually get involved with that task force, and she does get promoted, and she does get authority, and she ends up taking down like four cartels. And at the base of all these cartels is this guy, Boris, who is the main money launderer for the Mexican cartels down in that area. So she has to deal with him too, indirectly. But she gets on his list, you know, to target. So the Cartel Crusher is about Marnia Gonzalez and how she rises up to be like this big cartel hunter. And there's a big military fight in the end where she leads this army into this guy's hacienda when he's got all these armed gangsters and stuff with him, and she defeats him, and he dies in the end. But she also develops a relationship with one of the cartel bosses in Mexico, and they fall in love, and it looks like they were going to live happily ever after. But what I show when he goes home to his dad, who's the big cartel boss, he's one of the big three. And he takes him into this hospital room, and he shows him three people lying on beds that are all knocked out. And it's Danielle's dad, mom, and grandmother that he kidnapped off of that plane from the first book. So you got these two books just totally tied together now. And so then I wrote The Last Enemy. The Last Enemy is basically everybody confronting everybody. And you know, they go after Boris, the head guy, Jacob is released. He gets back with his wife and his mother. His mother get back with Jacob's dad and Danielle and some other people. And so that's pretty much the story. I don't want to give too many spoilers on how it all ends, but you know, this it's a big confrontation and all that. And I do show a lot of biblical principles, believe it or not, in there. Yeah. I show prayer. I'm talking about all three books. I show prayer. Right. I show resolve and belief in God being in charge and helping them and stuff. And and in the end, that's how they take down the bad guys. They get help from above.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
So I've had a lot of good, feedback from these books. And they really, a lot of my characters after that developed from these books. So, you know, the other five books that I wrote, except for Magi Apprentice, the other four that I wrote, go off of these three books. There's characters in these three books that are in the rest of them. But it's all like, you know, backstories or, you know, prequels or stuff like that. So I really have enjoyed The Last Enemy, you know, and I think I started writing The Last Enemy series in 2016 and I finished The Last Enemy, I think 2019. And awesome. One of my favorite quotes about the Cartel Crusher is this girl that wrote a review for Online Book Club again. She quoted, she said, "Give a girl the right pair of shoes and she can conquer the world. With Marnia Gonzalez, it was a pair of army boots." I thought that was kind of cool.
That is very cool. You know, she became the main character of the book, really. And, you know, did you use a lot of your own experience of what you went through with them, with having those people by your, next door to your business, or from your own experiences, knowing about military and knowing about law and stuff like that? Or did you have to do a lot of research to make it more realistic, but yet, you know, you're still in that fantasy fiction world?
A lot of both. Like I said, I did a lot of training with law enforcement back in the early 90s, and also with emergency medical and EMT stuff, and then firefighting and security and all that. So I did a lot of that back then, learned about firearms and stuff like that. But one of the great things is my son is in the United States Coast Guard. Mm-hmm. And so obviously, you know, my character, Jacob Edwards, is modeled after him. In fact, the book that I wrote called The Commander, I dedicated to him.
Oh, how nice.
He was one of my great resources in understanding like all things Coast Guard, all that stuff. That really helped a lot. A lot of research. Yeah, a lot of research into crime and stuff is as far as how what happened with that case with those Russian mafia guys, and how it was a huge network of stuff that was going on all over Mannheim and at other auctions. And they really had, and I tell you what, it changed the whole structure of how these auctions work. Cause now they're searching inside of cars. They're, you know, sometimes they're using high definition photography to look in there and try to figure out if there's anything hidden in the panels and stuff like that. So it's changed everything. It's also made it more difficult for us to get cars passed by their condition reports because they're really scrutinizing them now. You know, you get a little scratch or something. It looks like it's 3 feet big when they put it on the picture. You know, so
what do you think?
Yeah, so I had, go ahead.
Oh no, go finish.
Oh, I was just finishing up what I said. Yeah, just the whole thing about the Mannheim Auto Auction and what they had to do since that happened has really affected the entire business. But you don't see people smuggling stuff through cars anymore,
right?
At these auctions. Yeah.
That's pretty amazing. Now, you know, you're an award winning bestseller on Amazon. Why do you think your book stood out so much? Why do you think people gravitated to it so much like they did?
One of the things I do as a writer is I use the third person present tense in my writing. And I'm a journalist, or I was trained as a journalist back in the 1980s. And my journalism instructor, a man named Dr. Dan Jones, later on became a dean down in Texas Tech. He was one of the dean of literature down there. He taught us to write our stories, not only from, I don't know if you ever heard of the inverted pyramid, where a story is written, where you give all the information that's pertinent at top, and you kind of just narrow it down so people can read the first three or four lines and they can get everything they need to know and then go from there. That's general journalism training. But he taught us also, which is very popular in journalism, to write in the third person present tense. And what he said was we have to compete with the news services, you know, the video, TV news and all that kind of stuff. And he said, you have to make your story sound like they're living it right now.
Right.
You know, like where they, you know, it's present tense and it's third person. So it's got, some people call it like an omniscient view, where you can just see everything. It's like watching a movie.
Yeah.
And I really gravitated towards that when I started writing. And I didn't even realize that I was writing my first book in third person present tense until I sent it to my editor. And he said that, the guy that I hired to be my editor, and he said, you know, you write third person present tense. That's not normal for writing. Most writing is first person, simple past tense.
Yeah.
And I go, oh. And I go, well, this just feels really easy for me. And then I had to go back and think about it. And I go, well, it's because it's the journalism background.
Yeah.
But what it has done, and what the comments that I have gotten from people is that they feel the action. Yeah. Right when they're reading it, you know, it puts them right there in the action, and they're seeing everything just like they're watching a movie. And so that's why I've stuck with it. And at first I got a little criticisms here and there from it, but now most of my fan bases, they love it. I get lots of good comments about it, especially with the fight scenes and the action scenes and stuff like that. It really, really helps draws them in.
Yeah.
You can't go too long with that or you'll wear them out.
Exactly.
And that's something I had to learn. You know, you have to kind of like pull back on the action and show some other stuff, but it is nice to have it. And it's kind of nice with the romance scenes too. People like that. They like seeing both, not just hearing it from one person's point of view, but both of them.
Right. You know? Oh, definitely. Definitely. Yeah. I kind of like that you wrote it in, you know, first person, third person present tense, because I personally like when I read fiction books, I like feeling like I'm in the situation with them right then and there, because it makes me feel a part of the book. I mean, it draws me in, you know? So I think that's really good that you did that. I like that a lot. Now, if people want to learn more about you, where can they find you on the website?
Well, best place to go is my website, which is danehendrickson.com. And it's spelled right like it sounds. It's just lowercase Dan, little e, then Hendrickson, HendrickSon.com. And all my books and all the best, you know, the reviews and all the awards and everything else are right there. So you can look up descriptions of the books. You can actually buy the books right there on the website. There are links not only for me to, like, you know, sell you a book from my stock, and it could be autographed and all that kind of stuff, but there's also links to Amazon and Barnes and Noble. And that's a good way to do it. And, you know, we're digital and you know, softbound, hardbound. So we got all the bases covered. And actually, these first two books are in audio. So I had that done a couple years ago. Yeah. So The Good Fight and The Cartel Crasher are available on Amazon in audio. And the Last Enemies audio will come out here in a year or so. We'll see what. But my one book that I wrote a few years ago called Brandy Palette of a Pirate Princess, that was so popular that I chose to have that one put in audio before I was going to do this one, because everybody was just, that thing went off the charts as far as popularity.
Wow. I love it. I love it. I love the whole the whole theme of your books. I like the action. I like being in it. I love it, you know, and I'm reading one of your books right now, and I'm really getting into it. I think it's amazing. And you know, I highly recommend people to read your books, because I feel like I'm in the book at the present moment, you know, and I like that feeling. And I'm actually going to do a write up for you and you know, and share with people how I feel about your book, because I want everyone to know, you know, a little about what it's about and how it really affected me as a reader. And so you'll be seeing that soon. I'll be putting that on my website, thecompleteherbalguide.com, and then I'll be putting it on other platforms for people to read, you know, once I finish your book. But I really do like your books a lot. Like, you know, I've always been a big nonfiction reader, but you know, when I do get a hold of a fiction book that I really get into, you know, I really enjoy myself, because I've always liked fantasy, maybe because I'm a Pisces, but I always gravitate to a good book that, you know, good fiction book. But, you know, it's nice when you can actually find those good fiction books, because just like a TV show, sometimes they're hard to find. But when you do find them, you really do get really into it. And it's like a turn pager where you don't want to stop, you know, and that's how I kind of feel right now when I'm reading your book. It's like, you don't want to stop. You want to keep going and going and going. But yeah, I love these. And if people wanted to go to Barnes and Nobles, or if they wanted to go to Amazon, can they find your books there?
Absolutely. I mean, you could just use my name on Barnes and Noble or Amazon. You can definitely find it, all the books there.
Yeah. I'm actually reading this one right now, Maggie Apprentice. Yeah, so
that's a historical fiction, and yeah. I wrote that in third person present tense, and that was a little difficult because you're doing historical, but I really enjoyed doing that. Yeah,
I like how you write it, and so it's really, you've been doing a great job. I really enjoy your books a lot. I really enjoy them.
David found a pension that his staff would love. He chose NatWest Cushion because it has a fantastic app that is easy to use. Everyone feels good, except David. He is ecstatic. Take a little more action with a NatWest Cushion Workplace Pension. Tomorrow begins today. Search NatWest Cushion. Capital at risk.
So, you know, I'm looking forward to hearing more about your books. Now, I know that you'll be coming on the show to talk more about your other books and to, you know, share about your writing and stuff like that. Now, before we go, if you can give a couple of tips to, you know, there's so many people out there that have always, you know, said, you know, I've always wanted to write a book, but I don't know where to begin. I don't know where to start. You know, do you have any tips for inspiring writers that, you know, have, you know, always wanted to write a book, but they just don't know where to begin as a writer? Can you give any tips, anybody?
Well, honestly, you just got to start. You know, I wish I would have started earlier than I did, back to writing, because I went into journalism, but I always thought that I'd write fiction. I liked journalism because it was like, it looked like it would be a career path as well.
Yeah.
You know, something that you could do until you got popular as a novelist. But
right.
You know, and I got kind of disenfranchised with that for different reasons. And I went away and started doing other things. But I wish I would have just kept writing, because you only get good at it when you start it. If you got an idea, just try it out. And I think one of the biggest things that holds people back is they don't think they're good enough.
Yeah.
What I mean is they're afraid they're going to make mistakes. They're afraid they're going to spell a word wrong. They're afraid they're going to phrase it wrong. You're never going to get good unless you start doing it, you know?
Yes.
And I wrote this book. You know, when I wrote, and I've been to college, I've been trained a little bit, but I wrote this book. You should have seen it. It was like, yes, my wife, it was like one single paragraph, the whole thing. It didn't have any breaks to it or anything, you know? And my wife and my daughter, she's a grammar Nazi. She's a, ABC. She's an ABC reporter in Philadelphia, and she was a straight A college student, and she you know, English was her subject,
right?
Big time. And she went after this book for me. She actually edited it for me for as a Christmas present.
Oh, how nice.
So that I didn't even know she was doing it. And she handed it to me on Christmas, all edited and stuff. That was cool. But I just learned. I just continued. I just kept writing. In fact, one of the things that there's a man over in the Philippines. His name is Grant Leishman. And he's an author over there. And he's also a pretty well-known reviewer. And he does commentaries on books and stuff. He writes for magazines. And he picked me up when I first did The Good Fight. And he gave me a 4 out of 5 stars for my first edition. Now, this is actually the second edition of the book. But for the first edition of the book, he gave me 4 out of 5 stars on Reader's Favorite. And he was very complimentary. And he said some things where, you know, where I could improve. And so I took everything to heart and I did change it and make a second edition. But then I wrote this book, The Cartel Crusher, and using his you know, criticisms and stuff, yeah. I improved, and I published this book, and he reviewed that for Reader's Favorite, and yeah. His comment was that he had seen such a growth spurt in my writing that he made a big deal about it on the review, and he said, man, I just love this book. This book was fantastic. He said that he couldn't put him down. In fact, every one of my books that that he's ever reviewed for me read, he says he's basically read them in 1 or 2 sittings.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I don't write really long books. I mean, like I'm between 70 to 80,000 words, which is like a 250 to 300 page book.
With that's the actually a good size.
Yeah. Magi Prince was a little bit more. When I wrote it, it was 106,000 words. When it went to my editor, Tom Hyman, it came back to me 96,000, which is always a good, that's one of the editors, that's what editors do.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it came back 96,000. So it's a little over 300 pages. But, you know, I'm constantly reading books 450, 500, 600 pages these days. I don't know if I'll ever write a book that long. And I think that goes back to the third person present tense, where right. You don't want to wear them out.
Yeah.
You know, you give them a good story, a good movie-like story, and give it a good solid ending. And I think that's another one of my long suits as a writer is I always know the ending before I start. When you're talking about giving advice to people, they gotta know what gets them started. Like to me, I don't start writing a book until I know how it's going to end.
Exactly.
Some people are just the opposite. You know, they know how it begins and they just let it go. If that's you, that's great. But what you got to do is you got to find that. You got to find that point that gets you going. To me, when I get the ending in my head, when I know how I want to, this protagonist, how to end this story, you know, and all this stuff, how everything comes together, then I can write the whole book and get there. So that's another thing maybe an aspiring author would want to do is figure out what's their point that helps them to write the story. Is it knowing the ending? Is it knowing the beginning? Is it mapping it out with a outline?
Yeah,
whatever. But you just gotta have, you gotta find something to get you going with that. That's about all I have at that point. Yeah,
with those advice. Are amazing. Yeah, that's great advice. But you know, I think that, you know, you really gave some really 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 good tips right now. I think that's excellent, because I think that's one of the biggest things that people who read a lot of books and they always, you know, make comments, you know, that they always, you know, wanted to write it but they just didn't know how to begin, and the tips you just provided I think are amazing and that could actually help somebody. And also I love how you just, you know told people, you know, how practice makes perfect, because, you know, I can't tell you how many people, including myself, you know, when we first started writing, you know, I've talked to some of the greatest writers and they have made the bestsellers list and in the New York Times list. And they all say, you know, when they first started writing, their writing was horrible. And they look back at what their books look like and they look back now at how their books look like, and they don't feel embarrassed because they actually feel proud because all that practice.
It's a growth.
Yeah. It's a growth. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And thank you so much for giving those tips. I think they're very excellent tips for people who really want, you're inspired to either write a fiction book or even write a nonfiction book, whatever their dream or their ideas, go for it. I say, go for it. Now, before we leave, I want you to just tell people one more time, your website, get it in their brain so they don't forget it.
Okay. It's danehendrickson.com. So it's just, and lowercase, just, you know, www.dan, D-A-N, E, lowercase d, then Hendrickson, H-E-N-D-R-I-C-K-S-O-N.com. It'll take you right to my website. You know, I've got all kinds of stuff on there. I've got podcasts, I've got interviews that I've done, that people have interviewed me. I've got all kinds of reviews from Kirkus and other sources on all my books. So, you know, anything you want to know about my books, you can basically find there.
And we're also going to provide in our description your website address also, so that way they can go to it and they can check out all your books and they can find out where they can purchase them and get a really good read. So thank you so much, Dan. I really enjoyed having you on the show again. I can't wait to have you back on the show as we discuss your other books and go over other topics. But thank you so much for being here and taking the time out to share about your book and to, you know, make people aware of how they could be inspiring writers as well. So thank you so much for coming back on the show. And everybody, I want you to know that Dan is doing a podcast series with us. So check out, he has his own podcast on our site. Look for him and you'll see his face and check out all the different podcasts that he has done already. They're amazing. So check it out. Thank you so much, Dan, once again, for coming on the show.
Thank you, Stacy. Appreciate it.
Have a great day.
Me too.